and welcome to C3 Church, Bridgman Downs. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
And I've entitled this message tonight, Do You See What I See? Nudge the person next to you and say, Do You See What I See? Now go to your second choice and say, Do You See What I See? Who loves being the second choice? I'm probably going to read to you one of the most famous vision verses there ever was, there ever will be. In Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 2, it says, And then God answered, Write this, write what you see. Write it out in big block letters so that it can be read on the run. This vision message is a witness pointing to what's coming. It aches for the coming. It can hardly wait. And it says, and it doesn't lie. If it seems slow in coming, wait. It's on its way. It will come right on time. Let me tell you, you're in a faith forward series. And vision, when vision is cast, it is a moment to begin to activate that thing called living faith. And so I believe tonight that even the word vision is a provocative word. I mean, the word vision has us asking a lot of questions, right? And so I find that, you know, when I think of the word vision, it evokes questions within me like, how, God? I know what the vision looks like in my mind's eye, but what will it look like in reality when I see it come to pass? How are you going to bring the dream to pass? In fact, when are you going to bring the dream to pass? And, you know, just like in life, there are not neatly wrapped answers to all the questions that we have. And so I find that when it comes to this thing called vision, we get a little bit frustrated sometimes because we're like, do you know what? I've got this vision, but I don't know how it's going to come to pass. And we can get stuck with the vision, not knowing how to work the vision. And so in that phase, it can produce this thing called spirit-destroying doubt because you're like, I haven't seen it come to pass. I know that it's there, but I just haven't seen it for me. But I'm here to encourage you today, C3 Bridgman Downs, because if doubt leads to questions and questions lead to answers and answers are accepted in the Word of God, then doubt did a good thing in you. And you see, the Word of God is so powerful because here is Habakkuk and he's like, I'm fascinated with the man of Habakkuk. I mean, this passage of Scripture is a famous vision Scripture passage, but it's the man that I'm fascinated about because when he begins to write Habakkuk, it's this short book, and he's asking all these questions, and he's not afraid to ask the hard questions. Like, God, why is there wickedness in the world? Why are things not working out? Why do bad things happen to good people, God? And you see, the problem is that we take our vision and we run to other people with the questions of our vision, but the thing that Habakkuk did was he leant into God. And you see, when you begin to lean into God with your vision questions, by the end of this book, we see that he has answers. We see that his perspective has begun to shift and change. And I want to encourage some of you tonight because I feel like you're on the precipice of your vision and you're looking out there. You're about to take a step out into the unknown and you don't know what is beneath you. You can't see where you're going to go. But I'm telling you tonight that just like Habakkuk, you're about to step out and get a real life revelation that those unknown spaces are there to produce faith within you. You see, he would begin to step out in faith. You see, I find that getting a vision is not that hard. Most people can get a vision, but it's in the working the vision. It's like, how do I make this happen? You know, I see all the obstacles. I see all the resources I don't have. I see all the circumstances. I see all the people and the problems to my vision. And I just feel like I'm here on assignment tonight to help you get unstuck, to help you begin to start to work your vision. So your vision's got some gaps. My vision's got gaps too. That means it's a God gap. And God is about to bridge that gap for you. I'm about to help you unpack that gap so that you can run with vision. Amen? Okay. And so, you know, as we go on this journey together tonight, I want to help you fill the gap of your vision. And so let's pray this evening. Father, I just thank you. I thank you that you are so tangibly here tonight. that you are speaking even now. Lord God, that you are beginning to shape vision in this place again, that you're going to rework vision. I thank you that faith is alive and it is going to be worked out. And I sense an activation of faith here tonight, an ignition of faith here tonight. Lord, I thank you that people are going to run out of this place with such vision in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen. Are you doing good out there? How about you just shout back at me for a second? Just say hello. Okay, I am an interactive preacher. If you just like something, I say slap the person next to you and say, that was good. And then maybe clap me a little bit and be like, that's awesome. I don't even care if you stamp your foot or if you stand to your feet or if you want to come and slap the stage. I will be quite fine with that. But, you know, just make sure you interact with me this evening. I love a bit of interaction. But I thought that, you know, to help you get to know my family a little bit more, I've come into a new season of parenting, okay? I now have teenagers. Any parents of teenagers here? Okay, any teenagers here? Okay, you're texting your parents, right? This is a whole new thing for me as a mom. And so I'm getting some, oh, look, here they are. This is my beautiful family. And this one here in the yellow, she's the one sending me text messages. She's the one that's going to take over the church, all the church, okay? And so why don't you show those text messages that she's been sending me? She has them. Do you have them? There we go. She says, okay. Go back to the first one. There's another, the beginning of the text message. There's another text. It's the first one. And so she's been texting me and, you know, there's a little bit of attitude in these texts. I'm not going to lie. I've had to, you know, have a little bit of a personal adjustment as a parent to just handle these text messages that they're sending, but they're quite ambitious and it gives you a bit of a picture of, you know, how to work your vision. And so do you, I think they're coming with it. There we go. Okay. And she says, hi, you and dad owe me. Way to get my attention. She says, $10 each, which, can you just take a notice of this spelling for a second? Which is equivalent to $20 bills. So yeah, this is why. Dad owes me $5 from back scratching him and another $5 from massaging him all the way from my school to Dia's school to the shops and back. He's really getting his money's worth, which, again, is another $5. That equals $10 altogether. I'm so glad that she can do math. And just when I thought I was off the hook, I am not, because the next text message says, and you owe me, Mum, $10 for cleaning out and reorganizing the linen closet. Now, who would you rather work for, me or my husband? And so, and she says, there, 20 buckaroos. Now, she may have an American accent, but she still knows how to talk Aussie, okay? 20 buckaroos. And she says, the main reason I am telling you this is that I want to get my nails done all fun and a girl's day and I really need a manicure all Christmassy. Now, listen, she's working her vision. She is using initiative and risk. Let me tell you, she is entrepreneurial. And so, you know, is she going about it the wrong way? Yes, she is. But you know what? I'm going to overlook it because she's working her vision. And some of us here tonight, you've just got to start working your vision. You've got a vision from God, but you've just kept it in that dreamscape and you haven't touched it. But I believe that tonight you are going to begin to work your vision. And so why don't you open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 10, because we're going to camp in this passage of scripture for a little bit. And we're going to take a look at a guy called Cornelius and another guy called Peter. And you see, the beautiful thing about both of these men is they have visions. They have visions almost at the same time. They are God visions. And I kind of want to take a look at something tonight, the first point, and that would be don't paralyze your promotion. Because your vision is your promotion. Your vision is your promotion. Don't paralyze your promotion. And so Cornelius, what we need to understand about this man is he is a Roman officer. He is an officer in the Italian regiment. He is a God-fearing man. It says that he prayed regularly and he gave to the poor. And so he had favor with God. And it says on one day, we don't know which day it was, but we know on that day at 3 p.m., because the Bible can be so descriptive sometimes, he saw an angel coming towards him. And it says that in this passage of scripture, it says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to send men to Joppa. Summon a man named Simon Peter. He's staying at a guy called Simon the Tanner's house. I mean, there's so many Simons in that day. We had that discussion this afternoon. So many Jens, aren't there? And so, you know, it says that he finds him at this place by the seashore. And in verse 7, it says, as soon as, and I want you to understand and take note for just a moment that when you get a vision, there is a response required on us to interact with the vision. And you see, his response is as soon as. Would you underline in your Bibles for me, as soon as? As soon as the angel was gone, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants. He told them what had happened and he sent them off to Joppa. So these three men are on their way. While they are on their way, Peter has a vision. It says that Peter is sitting on top of the roof, on the flat roof, and he is there to pray. It says that it is about noontime. It's in the middle of the day and he's hungry. Well, thank you so much for that description, because who's not hungry at 12 noon in the middle of the day? And so he's sitting there and it says that while he's waiting for lunch to be prepared, he falls into a trance. You see, like next week it's Thanksgiving in America and we will fall into a turkey Thanksgiving trance after we've eaten that meal, but this is happening before the meal. And so it says that a sheet drops down from heaven, and on this sheet are all kinds of birds and reptiles and animals. And then he hears a voice that says this, get up, Peter, kill and eat them. And he says, no, Lord, I've never eaten anything our Jewish laws declare impure or unclean. But the boy spoke again. And he said, do not call something unclean if God has made it clean. The same vision is repeated to him, not once, not twice, but three times. And that is significant. And so then the sheet suddenly is pulled back up to heaven, and we find Peter is perplexed. He's like, what could this vision mean? Have you ever stood there with your vision and gone, what could this mean? I don't understand it. If you're in that space tonight, you and Peter are on the same page. And it says in verse 19, meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you. Get up, go downstairs, and then I want you to underline this. It says, go with them without hesitation. Don't worry, for I have sent them. Without hesitation. Without hesitation. And you see, when God speaks to Cornelius in his vision, he is responsive. Do you know what responsive is? Responsive is when you act quickly and positively to something. When a vision is cast for this house, your job is to act quickly and positively to the vision, to get behind the vision. And so as soon as the angel left, he sends them off. Then you see that Peter, he says to Peter, go without hesitation. What is he saying? He's saying, basically, when I send you vision, I want you to move. Vision is your moment to begin to move. It's your moment to begin to interact, to begin to take some initiative, to begin to get your legs working and your heart working. He says, I don't want you to miss the opportunity to be a part of what I'm building, Peter. I want you to move without hesitation. If you won't go, if you won't move, it'll never get out of the dream space into the landscape of our lives. And so he's arresting him in his spirit and in his heart right now. And he's saying, I'm giving you a vision and I'm going to bring it to pass, but I need you to begin to move. You see, so many of us don't understand that we are the key component to the vision coming to pass. It's the interaction with the vision that needs to take place. And so God is saying, I want to promote you. This is about your promotion. Vision is promotion. When vision comes to this house, it's there to take you into new spheres of authority, new spheres of dominion, new spheres of effectiveness. And so God is saying, I want you to think bigger. I want you to allow me to bring you into a season of promotion. And so vision stands before him. You see, I feel that God is just awakening the church even today. And he's like, would you please think big? Would you please think big? Would you just think bigger than yourself? Don't get a vision just for you. Get a vision for your household. Get a vision for your wife. Get a vision for your husband. Get a vision for your children. Get a vision for this city. Get a vision for our youth. Get a vision. And so God is like arresting him to begin to move because he's about to take him into a new sphere of effectiveness. And I really believe that there is a sphere of effectiveness that God is unleashing on C3 Bridgerman Downs in this hour. He's about to push out the walls. You're not going to puzzle over the vision anymore. The pieces are coming together and you're going to find a fit and an alignment and begin to move as one like never before. You see, Peter could have got stuck in that puzzling the vision stage. You know, like one day I'm going to do something great for God. Like one day I'll plant a campus. One day I'll step out and I'll be that worship leader. One day I'll write songs for the kingdom. One day I'll get creative. But you know, it has to be someday that you actually activate that. So maybe that one day is today. Maybe that one day is today. And so he begins to bring it into alignment. You see, and God works in spheres of influence and effectiveness. Like he gives you vision beyond yourself because it is about numbers. But you know, it's not just about numbers. It's about effectiveness and success and effectiveness. When they marry up together purposefully and rightly, that means that the fruit is healthy. You see, God is wanting to produce amazing men and amazing young women in this house who are going to be giant slayers for the kingdom of heaven. Not like thousands of people who are just sucking up air and taking up seats. He wants to bring people in here who are going to change the world. They're going to be in spheres of government and spheres of influence. They're going to be creative and engineering and entrepreneurial, and they're going to have businesses, and they're going to be able to fund the kingdom, and they're going to be amazing men and women that God is bringing into this house. And he says, I want you to recognize the moment before you. Don't hesitate, Peter. Why? Because I don't want you to miss the promotion because it looks like a problem. You see, because for Peter, Cornelius was a problem. Cornelius was a Gentile. Now, this is a huge social barrier. And so have you ever been given a gift that you didn't know was a gift and that you appropriated as a problem? Like Christmas is coming, 36 days till Christmas. And you'll be sitting there and some random uncle or aunt, Harry and Harriette, are going to give you a gift and you're going to go, wow, it's beautiful. And you are not going to know what the gift is. Like, what the heck is this? What do I do with this trinket that you've given me? And so in our early years of marriage, I like to cook. Who likes to cook? Okay, but when I was newly married, I knew how to cook three meals, spaghetti, spaghetti, and spaghetti. And, you know, I was good with desserts, right? And so I thought, you know what? There was this one dessert that looked really fancy. If you can make it look good, then it's a game changer, right? And so I would get these pears and I would peel the pears and I would pour honey all over the pear. And then I would put it in the oven, bake it, bring it out, put it in a nice flask, and it looked really fancy, and then drizzle chocolate over it and pair it with ice cream and with these caramelized pears. It was amazing, but it was like seriously the easiest thing ever. And so my friend, she thought, you know what? I'm going to give her a gift because she could see me struggling to core these pears. And she said, I'm going to give you a gift. So she gives me this gift the next day as a thank you. I take it home to Adam. I'm like, this gift is so random. I have no idea what this gift is. Do you know what it is? And he's like, I don't know what it is. It's weird. And so I put it on the kitchen shelf and we didn't touch it for a year. Like a year later, she goes, hey, Kira, how's that apple corer going that I gave you? I'm like, have you seen an apple corer? I mean, unless somebody tells you it's an apple corer, you don't know it's an apple corer. And so I had misappropriated the gift because I saw it as a problem. And this is the exact same thing that Peter is doing with Cornelius. He's misappropriating the gift. He's hesitating in his moment. He might have missed it because he could see it as a problem. And you see, I wonder how many of us tonight have a vision that has been set before us and you're looking at it like it's a problem. Like, but maybe it's your promotion, C3 Bridgman Downs. Maybe it's that thing that's going to get you uncomfortable and get you out of your, you know, into that space where God can begin to use you. Maybe you're about to be promoted. And so he's about to go to a new level of influence. You know, we don't like unfamiliar zones and unfamiliar places and in times of uncomfortability, but that's the space we've been called to live in. And that is where all the heroes in the Bible lived. They lived in that space. I want to encourage you today, would you begin to move towards the unknown spaces, the unknown places, the people that look like problems? And you see, the second thing that your vision is going to do, your vision is perspective, but your vision is not your own. We need to understand that our vision is not our own. Now, I mentioned earlier on in the message that we have a campus in Rome, Italy. And if you've ever been to Rome, it's beautiful and the food is actually amazing. I'm talking a lot about food tonight, aren't I? Bit of a foodie. And so when you go to Rome, the pasta is amazing. Like, it is absolutely incredible. And you're sitting here going, how good can pasta be? Like, so good that I dream about it. Like, I dream about going back to eat the carbonara. And so we're sitting having this beautiful meal with this couple, Christina and Pepe. And, you know, for me, I'm a dessert girl. Like, give me dessert for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I'm happy. I don't need a meal, okay? Just give me dessert. And so it was all about the gelato in Italy. And so I'd been there 4 days. Nobody had given me any gelato yet. And I was like, this is my moment. I'm about to have gelato. And Pepe looked at me and he said, you know, Kira, I have a treat for you. And I was like, it's coming, it's here. And he goes, but you can't eat it. And I was immediately depressed because all I wanted was my gelato. He said, I want you to jump in the car with us. We're going to take you up the road. We're going to show you this semi-secret peephole. It's called the Aventine Keyhole. Not many people know about it, but it has like the most amazing view in Rome. And I was like, you know what? Okay, we'll go on the journey with you. And so he began to take us up to what looked like the backside of a building with a big iron door, and then there was a keyhole. Now, to those of you who know me will know that I am nearsighted. And the idea of looking through a keyhole with one eye limits my vision so greatly, it is intimidating. Like, I'm short-sighted, so, you know, I've developed this. I realize this is a preaching gift, okay? So when you're sitting there with your resting face that doesn't look nice while I'm preaching, that is a gift from heaven to me. I think you all love me. And so I step up because he says, you know, I want you to look first. And so I step up to the keyhole and I'm really nervous. And I look through and I can't see anything. It's just like a blurry white blob. And he goes, what do you see? And I said, it's beautiful. And they go, no, but what do you see? And I go, a statue. Like, I am lying through my teeth. And I'm a pastor. And so he looks confused and Adam goes, get out of the way. I want to see, because my husband, he looks through and I'm having immediate FOMO because he's like, this is so beautiful. And then Andrew, our film guy, was with us and he's nice. So he took a photo through the keyhole so that I could get some indication of what it looked like. And this is what it looked like. And so you can kind of make out there's something there, but it's still blurry to me. So I'm like, you know what, Christina, you're wearing glasses. Could I take your glasses? Could I put your glasses on and then let me have a look at what we are looking at? And when I put her vision over my vision, this is what I saw. Only the Vatican. Only the most beautifully crafted view that is every time of the day is just so precious to look through this keyhole and you see the Vatican lit up in such a beautiful manner. But it took my vision to be, you know, her vision to be set over my vision for me to see the full picture. And you see, your vision is only in part. You had Cornelius had his vision and Peter had his vision, but the two visions needed to come into alignment. It was the combination of the two that made them complete. And you see, I love this because you look at Cornelius and his vision aligned him to Peter. It sent him to Peter, and it says, by the time Peter gets to Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 24, Cornelius was waiting for him. And so he's so excited and he's been so interactive with his vision. He did everything that the vision told him to do. So he's got this room full of people. The room is electric, much like it is here. And they are just waiting, ready for Peter to begin to speak to them. And Peter's so provocative, right? So Peter steps up and he says in verse 28, it says, Peter told them, you know it is against our laws for a Jewish man to enter a Gentile home like this or to associate with you. Way to open the room and win the people, Peter. Like he's a phenomenal preacher too, you know. And so he says, but God has shown me that I should no longer think of anyone as impure or unclean. So I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. Now tell me, why did you send for me? And Cornelius is like, well, I sent for you because God told me to get you. And now I've got all these people in this room. And now we're ready for you to tell us whatever you need to tell us. And Peter's like, okay, I've got this. I know exactly what I'm going to say. And he begins to preach the gospel. He begins to include the very thing that was missing from Cornelius's vision. He was a devout, God-fearing man, but he didn't have Jesus. And so in verse 34, it says, then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. In every nation, he accepts those who fear him and do what is right. This is the message of good news for the people of Israel, that there is peace with God through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of some. No, he's Lord of all. And in this moment, he actually became Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began to preach his message of baptism. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And in verse 39, then we apostles are witnesses of all he did throughout Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him to life on the third day. Amen. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us, whom God had chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We were those who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Come on, Peter is giving a real living first-hand account of the gospel message. And he ordered us to preach everywhere and to testify that Jesus is the one appointed by God to be the judge of all, the living and the dead. And he is the one all the prophets testified about, saying that everyone who believes in him will have their sins forgiven through his name. And then look at this. It says the Gentiles receive the Holy Spirit. Even while Peter's talking and he's saying these things, the Holy Spirit begins to fall upon them. It says that all who were listening to the message were filled with the Spirit. And so the Jewish believers who are with Peter are like, hang on a minute, like his posse, his disciples, his guys are like, can you believe it? The Holy Spirit is pouring itself out on these people. We didn't think God could use these people, but yet they are witnessing firsthand God choosing them. And so it says here that in verse 37, he looks at them and he says, can anyone object to their being baptized now that they have received the Holy Spirit just as we did? So he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus. Touch somebody and say, do you see what I see? Like, are you catching this revelation, C3 Bridgman Downs? Like, Peter would have been sitting there in this moment going, do you know what? I sat at the table with Jesus while he told me that we would preach the gospel out into all the world for this moment. And he's in the moment and he's seeing the vision come to pass because he was obedient to go as soon as. Some of you are going to stand in your vision because you're obedient to go as soon as God tells you to. Going to begin to see those things come to pass. You see, both of these men had a vision, but it was bigger than each individual man. And you see, both of them had to begin to enact what they had heard so they could see it move from the dreamscape into the landscape of their life. And it meant that they had to obey God in the moment. You see, your vision might look like it's pointing you to somebody else, or it might look like it's attached to somebody else, but that is just so beautiful because God is into marrying up visions. He's into taking your personal vision and marrying it up with a greater vision. And what we need to understand is that this was a kingdom advancing day. This wasn't just a day where they fulfilled their own vision. This was a day where God brought two men together to advance the kingdom of heaven so that you and I could have the gospel that we stand in, that we live in, that we glorify God in today. And you see, because they took something that was going to be a one-day thing and brought it into the today scope. And you see, when God gives you a vision, we need to understand that it is both individual and it is specific. It is expressly for you, but it is also intertwined into his bigger picture. And you see these two men, they begin to have their visions intersect at the perfect moment for kingdom advancement. I wonder how many of you are here tonight because God has connected one of you to another of you and that you are now in here having salvation. I wonder, you know, how many people you get to look at, Pastor Cree in Springfield, who are there now in the kingdom of heaven because you stepped out because there was a vision of God that he put in your heart and you made it a reality. And so I wonder if the blockages to your vision tonight can only be bridged by somebody else. I wonder if God designed your vision with gaps so that somebody else needs to bridge the gap. And what if God's vision for your life is much bigger than just a vision between you and him? You know, it's just bigger than you and God. I believe that God is beginning to even now just begin to take the lid off some of the vision that you've had, the limited vision that you've had. What if it encompassed way more people than you could ever hope or imagine? I mean, we had vision to survive when we took Vive Church to Silicon Valley. It was like 11 suitcases, my 3 children, and let's just live, okay? Let's just not, you know, die here, you know, building the church. But let me tell you now, I just hear countless stories every day, all the time. People saying, thank you so much that you came. Thank you so much that you came. My husband just wrote a book, Faux Fear. And in his book, he writes about the start of our church. And you know the response of people in the church that have been on the other side of him and I overcoming fear is so profound. C3 Bridgman Downs, some of you are going to overcome some fear tonight and you're going to step in and you're going to begin to work your vision. And there's other people on the other side of that who are going to be impacted. And that was not in my notes. That was for free, says the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. And the third thing we're going to look at this is that vision is personal and you don't want to live vision impaired. Okay, now the thing about vision impairment is if you have vision impairment, you don't know that you're vision impaired. Like you will swear that your vision is right. Like when I have an argument with my husband, he says, I know my truth. And I'm like, how can I argue with that? Because you know your truth. What you see is what you see. I could tell you that I see clearly, but I know I'm vision impaired. And so when I look down the office and my office is at the back of the office and Pastor Carly is seated in the middle of the office and I say, isn't it great that Sally came into the office today? She looks at me and she goes, Pastor Kira, you really need to get some glasses because that was the UPS man and it was a man. And please never tell Sally that you thought she was a man. And you see, like, you think you've seen right, and God had to get into Peter's world and he had to adjust some limited thinking in him. He shows him the vision not once, not twice, but 3 times because God was adjusting his perception. Why? Because Peter had vision impairment. Peter wasn't seeing 20/20. Peter had a bias to his vision. He had limitation to his vision. He had prejudice to his vision. And God had to adjust it in him on a very personal level. And you see, God will do that. Because what Peter saw as a problem, God saw as a person. And God is putting some people in front of you that you're meant to lead, and you need to see them as a people and not a problem. And God's going to give you the power to begin to lead them. But you see here that he's given this vision. And you know, well, all the time Peter thinks that he's working the vision, the vision is actually working him. Like God is enlarging his thinking. He's this great man of faith. He's this great man of God. Yet God is saying, Peter, you're thinking too small. Peter, the gospel that I put on the inside of you is not just for you. It's not just for the Jewish nation. It is for all mankind. And he's beginning to increase the vision. And so he goes back to his small-minded thinking friends in Judea, and they're like criticizing him. You ate with Gentiles. How could you have done this? And so Peter says, you know what? Since God gave these Gentiles the same gift he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to stand in God's way? I mean, he had a revelation that he refused to stand in God's way. I mean, this was God's choice. God sent Cornelius to him. I didn't send Cornelius to me. He was the one that sent the invitation. And so God is going to bring people into your world, and he's going to adjust your perspective, because I believe that if the vision is truly from God, it will demand our own expansion and challenge any smallness in us. I mean, on a personal level, God will begin to do that. And he'll begin to help us get on board with his choices over our choices. And some of you have been limiting how the vision's going to come to pass because the people don't look like they fit in the vision. But God's going to unleash the limited way in which you think about the people so he can use them for the vision. Because it's your job to shape them and call them higher. And so why don't you stand with me, C3 Bridgman Downs? Because God had to adjust this with me too, on a personal level, on a very personal level. Do you know, like, my husband, we planted 5 campuses in 5 years, and that was a stretch for us. I mean, he is the faith-filled visionary. When he casts a vision, man, I get on board with it, but I have a lot of questions. Like, I'm that one that's, like, had to go from doubt, you know, questions that lead to answers, you know, and get on that journey. You know, he's cast a vision next year for another 5 campuses. We're going to go to Milan. We're going to go to Austin, Texas, Chicago, Honolulu, and Morgan Hill down the road for us. And that's awesome that he has this faith-filled vision, but I'm the one that has to flesh out the vision. I'm the one that sees all the problems. I'm the one that has to work the intricacies. I'm the one that has to position the people. And so God had to just arrest my heart and go, Kira, I've called you to be the prophetic seer. I've called you to get on board with this. Don't limit this. This is your promotion as a church and as an individual. And just like Habakkuk, he can get you from a place of questioning to a place where you begin to lean into God, and God will give you the divine strategies and he will give you the divine answers that you need. I don't still yet know how we're going to make 5 campuses happen in 1 year. That's crazy. But I know that God's going to do it, because he did it before and he can do it again. And I'm just believing tonight. I just really believe that there is an activation of faith tonight. That you have this faith. You have this forward faith that has been set in motion from your pastors, spoken into being. And I just feel like right now, heaven is just beginning to drop the weight of that on you. And you are there's runners. It's like he's giving you the ability to run with vision tonight. I see runners who are running with the vision. You're running with passion. You're running with fervency. You're running with culture. You're running with vision. You're running with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you see, tonight I know to be able to run like that, you're going to have to leave some things behind.
We hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to respond to this message in any way, or would like to talk to one of our pastors, please email us at inquiries@c3bd.com. Or for any more information about our church and the events we have coming up, please go to c3bd.com. Have a great week.